Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump and Jerome Powell meet to discuss the economic outlook.
The White House taps David Malpass to lead the World Bank.
Shares of Alphabet slump as profit margins slide.
Stocks in Europe advance on strong earnings from BP.
And chip makers slump following warnings on growth.
President Trump's inaugural committee has been subpoenaed. Plus, the president is expected to call for unity in tonight's State of the Union speech. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports stuff. Loss for the Rangers. They blew a late lead and lost in overtime at the Garden to the LA Kings. The NBA leading Milwaukee Bucks beat the Nets in Brooklyn.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And stocks in Europe are advancing while U.S. futures inch higher this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.9%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nds, yield 2.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 56 cents to $55.10 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% at $1.80 to $13.17.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.17, and the yen, 109.96. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a long-awaited meeting between President Trump and Jerome Powell. The president and the Federal Reserve chairman had dinner last night at the White House. Bloomberg's Christine Burke has details.
The Fed issued a statement about their discussion, said the conversation centered around economic developments and the outlook for the economy, but stopped short of diving into specific expectations on monetary policy. What Powell really stressed in his conversation with Trump was that the path of policy going forward really depends entirely on incoming information and what that means for the outlook.
You know, the Fed says Powell's comments to the president were consistent with his remarks at last week's press conference. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida were also at the dinner.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned President Trump plans to nominate senior Treasury official David Malpass to lead the World Bank. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Sources say the announcement will be made this week after President Trump delivers his State of the Union. Some countries may see the choice as another attack on global order. That's because Malpass has portrayed the World Bank as too big, too inefficient, and too reluctant to wean developing countries that have become engines of growth. The 62-year-old Malpass joined President Trump's campaign early on as an economic advisor. He has echoed the president's doubts about international cooperation, declaring that multilateralism has gone substantially too far. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Turning to earnings now, BP is reporting profit that topped estimates despite a slump in crude prices. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern has more from London.
Very strong numbers, more than $800 million above what was expected. Luckily for BP, because the expectations were high, there's been trend for very strong numbers from the big oil companies this season. These are strong numbers demonstrating the company has really got on top of costs and can make these double-digit returns even at today's subdued oil prices.
The results have shares of BP up more than 4% in London.
Shares of chipmaker AMS are down 12% in Zurich as the Apple supplier warns about future growth. Bloomberg's Sam Unstead reports.
Their outlook did miss, but they also scrapped their dividend. They are quite a volatile stock. They make sensors that go into iPhones. They're also a major Apple supplier. But it's the scrapping of the dividend, I think, that's really hit them hard today.
Fellow chipmaker Infineon Technologies also issued a warning. The German company sees revenue growth at the lower end of its forecast.
All right, back here in the U.S., shares of Alphabet are down more than 2% in early trading. The company reported revenue that beat estimates, but also thinner profit margins. Jitendra Worrall covers Alphabet for Bloomberg Intelligence.
66% growth in paid clicks shows the demand was very strong for the advertising business. But if you look at the expenses side, you know, they're spending a lot. Basically saw a big jump in the losses that they reported.
Those losses were due to heavy spending on Alphabet's cloud and YouTube businesses as capital expenditure jumped 80% in the fourth quarter. Crawford Del Pret is chief operating officer at IDC Research.
If you believe that this company is really going to develop over-the-top services, they're going to have to pay more for them. And I think Google really is trying to be the video disruptor here, and that's what you're seeing in the numbers, which is a cramping of the operating margins.
Alphabet's operating margin came in at 21% in the fourth quarter. That was down from 24%.
Up next on the earnings front, Walt Disney leads more than two dozen companies reporting today. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Disney's results may have been pressured by its streaming investments and rising cable expenses for college football. Bloomberg Intelligence says the main focus for investors throughout the fiscal year will be the launch of Disney Plus, a direct-to-consumer streaming product, and the requirement that the company's 22 regional sports networks be sold in the wake of the Fox acquisition. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. On the economic front, the Institute for Supply Management issues its monthly report on service industries. That's coming out at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists see the gauge dropping to 57.1 in January. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
December's ISM non-manufacturing index dropped to a five-month low as measures of business and employment declined. Even so, Bloomberg Economics says the service sector remains solid. The three-month and six-month averages for new orders have been on the rise, and the ADP payroll report points to strength in service hiring. Also on today's calendar, research firm Market updates its service industry PMI. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And in Europe, a slump in Italy's services industry is weighing on the euro area economy. A services PMI shows Italian business activity shrank in January, leading to job cuts in some sectors. Services in France also declined, with a January PMI indicating the worst contraction in almost 5 years. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1% this morning. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street and Michael Barr to tell us more of what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Federal prosecutors in New York have issued a subpoena seeking documents from President Trump's inaugural committee. A spokeswoman says the committee intends to cooperate with the inquiry. She said the committee received the subpoena late last night and was still reviewing it. It was not immediately clear which documents prosecutors have requested. President Trump will give his State of the Union address tonight. Senior Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway says the president is going to call for an end to the politics of resistance and retribution. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports.
The president likely faces a tough crowd after Democrats took back the House during the midterms. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will be right over his shoulder. Expect him to take a victory lap over economic successes. He reportedly wants to include a firm anti-abortion message in his speech, and the president is expected to announce a new strategy to end HIV in the U.S. The big question is whether President Trump will use this speech to declare a national emergency to justify building a border wall. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg will carry tonight's speech starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. President Trump is nominating former oil lobbyist David Bernhardt to be Interior Secretary. Embattled Virginia Governor Ralph Northam is asking his cabinet for more time to decide his next move as he faces widespread calls to resign. Northam has been under fire since last week when a photo emerged from his medical school yearbook page. The photo shows a person in blackface and another person in a KKK hood and robe. Calls for Northam's resignation have been coming from Democrats and Republicans. Congressional Black Caucus Chair Karen Bass.
He essentially hid this. He could have come clean. He could have asked for forgiveness years ago. He chose not to do this. He just got busted. That's all.
However, former independent Senator Joe Lieberman has a different view.
I think there's a rush to judgment that is unfair to him. One, he says he wasn't in that picture. Two, I think we ought to fairly ask him, did he know the picture was on his page of that yearbook? And then three, really, he ought to be judged in the context of his whole life.
A Paris prosecutor says a woman is in custody in the investigation into a deadly building fire. At least eight people were killed. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Rangers blew a game against a team they should beat at the Garden. They led the LA Kings three different times. The Kings tied the game with a minute left in regulation, then scored again 25 seconds into overtime to win 4-3. The Kings' goal coming just after Mika Zibanejad hit one off the post. The Rangers have now lost three of the last four. The Milwaukee Bucks have the best record in the NBA. The Nets saw why at Barclays. Giannis Antetokounmpo, as he always seems to do, filled up the stat sheet. 30 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. The Bucks improved to 39-13. They beat the Nets 113-94. Brooklyn's third straight loss. They could be getting top scorer Caris LeVert back soon. He went down early in the year with a leg injury. Bill Belichick coaching disciples have not come near to matching his success, but the Dolphins hope that trend ends the day after Brian Flores coached the Patriots defense to that tremendous performance in the Super Bowl. Flores, a Brooklyn native, introduced as the new coach in Miami. He replaces the current Jets coach, Adam Gase. Zach Taylor's hiring became official in Cincinnati. He was a Sean McVay assistant with the Rams. Yesterday, Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman made the rounds, the trip to Disney World. Edelman has a close relationship. Some would say it's like big brother, little brother with Tom Brady.
He just said he was proud of me, you know, and that was big. You know, he's been a, you know, an unbelievable guy to learn from, you know, as a football player, as a professional, as a family man. The guy's all in, and you know, that trickles down when you see leaders of your team do that.
And later this morning in Boston, yet another celebration to honor a championship team. The 12th this century, half of those have been for the Patriots. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, the Rams weren't the only losers on Super Bowl Sunday. So was FanDuel. Reported losses of $5 million in New Jersey. More than 75% of the money was bet on the Pats. Many customers took advantage of an introductory offer that gave them favorable odds. Futures pointed higher. This is Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Jerome Powell and Richard Clarida discussed the economy over a steak dinner with President Trump. The Fed chief stressed monetary policy remains data-dependent and did not share his expectations for future policy. Meanwhile, there's more legal problems for President Trump. Sources tell Bloomberg his inaugural committee is being subpoenaed by New York federal prosecutors. The New York Times says they're seeking documents related to donors. Shares of Alphabet are falling after Google's CapEx jumped 80% in the fourth quarter. That's cutting into the company's operating margin as competition intensifies in digital advertising. And BP smashed earnings estimates. The oil giant showed better returns than Shell as new projects fueled a spurt in oil and gas output. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 93. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany's up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 57 cents to $55.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.60 to $13.1770 an ounce. The euro $1.1415. The yen 109.95. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in front of both chambers of Congress, President Trump will deliver his State of the Union address. It is the first before the newly Democratic-run House, with Speaker Nancy Pelosi sitting directly behind him. After the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, the White House says President Trump will strike a conciliatory tone and call for unity in an attempt to mend the partisan divide. You can hear the president's speech live on Bloomberg Radio starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Federal prosecutors in New York have issued a subpoena seeking documents from President Trump's inaugural committee. A spokeswoman with the committee intends to cooperate with the inquiry. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in overtime to the Kings 4-3. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning, 620 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Disney, among companies reporting earnings, this will come after the bell today. Well, let's get a preview from Geetha Ranganathan, the Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Industry Analyst. And Geetha, for Disney, the magic, I suppose, is all about streaming, and more streaming. What's the update?
Yes, good morning, John. So for fiscal first quarter, it's a somewhat subdued tone for earnings expectations, and that's mainly due to two factors. So they're facing some fairly tough comparisons from last year, especially in their studio segment. Last year they had a Star Wars release. This time they didn't, so profits are expected to be about $600 million lower. That's what management said. And then the continuing theme from fiscal first quarter into the whole of fiscal 2019 is going to be the investments that are going to be required for their streaming product. So they have a Disney Plus streaming product that will come out later this year, but pretty much the whole theme throughout this year is going to be the investments required in technology, in marketing, in content, in order to make that that product a successful one.
Okay, so for anybody owning or buying this stock, it all sounds like, and I suppose management will emphasize this is a long-term project here.
Absolutely. Investors are definitely going to be, they have to be ready to endure some short-term pain, and that's really going to be in terms of all the investments, billions of dollars required for the streaming product for the long-term opportunity. And we believe Disney is really positioned strategically, is positioned very well relative to its peers. This product that they're launching, it does have the potential to become a game-changing product, but then again, fiscal 19 and fiscal 20, there's going to be quite a lot of investment and losses in that segment.
Yeah, and also if you add into the mix the fact that their content is on other streaming services, at some point they're going to have to pull that out, right?
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. You bring up a really good point. They are going to be losing revenue from licensing their shows and content, especially to Netflix. They pulled that earlier this year, and so that's hundreds of millions of dollars that they're losing in potential revenue. But then again, it's all for the longer-term strategy.
Disney's primetime cable ratings, where are they right now, and does that really matter to them?
It does. So the media networks business has been the main driving force of operating profits. ESPN itself brings in about 25 to 28% of operating profits for the entire company. And what we've seen is after a few years of really hyper scrutiny from investors because of subscriber losses, that segment finally seems to be stabilizing. And that's been because of the growth of all these virtual services, and they've been able to get carriage on a lot of those services. The other big positive for ESPN going into the next few years is that they have a lot of these new affiliate fee renegotiations which are coming up, and so they have about 20 to 25% of their base coming up for renegotiation in the next 3 to 4 years. So that should again be a positive. That should have a positive impact on that segment.
Do they expect in the long run to customers like myself to have Netflix and the Disney offer, Disney Plus, or is it either or?
I think it is. What is going to happen is we're seeing a whole slew of streaming services hitting the market later this year. Of course, Disney Plus being the big one, some others coming out from Warner and NBC. But I think what we're going to see by the time the dust settles and everything shakes out, I think Netflix is going to be a mainstay. And I think Disney Plus is also going to be one of the key products in consumers' homes.
The Fox Media assets, when's that going to be completed?
Yeah, so that's another update that investors are possibly going going to be looking for in today's call. They have received most of their regulatory approvals. I think only one is pending, which is in Brazil. They expect that to close sometime in 1Q. Okay. And then after that, one of the important things that is required as a result of that deal is that they have to sell the Fox regional sports networks. And there's been a lot of news and a lot of chatter here. Some of the fears that they may not be able to get the price that they were hoping they would get, which was about close to about $20 or $22 billion.
All right. We'll leave it there. Yes. Geetha, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Geetha Raghunathan, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Industry Analyst. Again, after the close of regular trading, Disney earnings. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by MBAF CPAs and Advisors, dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks higher around the world this morning. The Stocks Europe 600 index is rising for a sixth straight day, led by BP's better-than-expected earnings report. The oil company is up 4% in early trading.
Meanwhile, shares of Alphabet are down more than 2% after profit margins slid in the fourth quarter. Emily Chang reports from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Alphabet's CapEx spending jumped 80% as the company spent big on expanding its cloud and YouTube businesses. CFO Ruth Porat told Bloomberg after the earnings report that the company is very focused on investing for the long term. In the meantime, Alphabet will continue to rely on its ad business to support sales and profit growth. And while it remains a leader in that space with Facebook, it is increasingly seeing Amazon muscle in for a slice of the lucrative digital ad market. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Emily, Disney and Viacom lead more than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell met President Trump at the White House for dinner last night. The two discussed recent economic developments and the outlook, but the central bank says Powell did not share his expectations for monetary policy.
Bloomberg News has learned President Trump plans to nominate senior Treasury official David Malpass to lead the World Bank. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate, the 62-year-old Malpass has echoed the president's doubts about international cooperation. He's also portrayed the World Bank as too big and too inefficient. The nomination risks provoking opposition from countries that have defended the existing global order. Malpass struggled at Treasury to retain personnel in his unit, with about 20 career staff members quitting in less than a year. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And in Europe, growth in the UK's dominant services sector dipped to a 2.5-year low in January, bringing the economy to a near halt as firms grow increasingly anxious about Brexit. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher, up 6 points. Dow futures up 92. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 38 cents to $54.94 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.30 to $13.18 an ounce. The euro at $1.1415 and the yen 109.97. The British pound at $1.3006. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Well, thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax. Now here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. Federal prosecutors in New York have issued a subpoena for documents from President Donald Trump's inaugural committee. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This furthers a federal inquiry into a fund that has faced mounting scrutiny on how it raised and spent its money. Neither side has commented on what was requested, although the committee said its intention is to fully cooperate. Although media reports now say it has asked for all documents relating to the committee's vendors and possible benefits to donors. If there were exchanges of political favors, it would be a potential violation of federal corruption laws. Also requested documents relating to donations made by or on behalf of foreign nationals. Those, too, are prohibited by federal law. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump faces a considerably different Congress tonight for a State of the Union address now that Democrats are in control of the House. President Trump is expected to call for optimism and unity in his address. Senior Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway.
This president is going to call for an end to the politics of resistance, retribution, and call for more comedy, C-O-M-I-T-Y.
The Democratic response will come from a rising star in the party, Georgia's Stacey Abrams. Bloomberg will carry coverage of tonight's State of the Union speech starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Donald Trump ally and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he does not expect any intra-party challenge to the president in 2020 because Republican voters remain solidly behind him. On Bloomberg TV, Christie says President Trump remains popular with about 80% of the GOP base, and that should be enough to cut off any serious attempt to run against him in the Republican primaries.
You know, if those numbers change, then there will obviously be people who will look at it, because there are always ambitious people who want to run for president of the United States and think they could do a good job. But I don't see anyone doing that now. I don't see the landing strip for them to be successful in a primary against an incumbent president. So I firmly believe that President Trump will be renominated and be the Republican candidate in 2020.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, nobody would have guessed that 3 months into the NBA season, the team with the best record would be the Milwaukee Bucks. They haven't won a playoff series since 2001, but led by the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks. 39-13 last night at Barclays. They outscored the Nets 36-22 in the third quarter. They held Brooklyn to 5 of 42 in three-point shooting. The Bucks won 113-94. Giannis, 30 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. Nets have lost 3 in a row. The Rangers have lost 3 of 4. At the Garden, they led the Kings 3 different times, twice in the third period. But L.A. tied the game with a minute left in regulation and then in overtime.
Zibanejad enters, shoots off the post! He slows up, waits for Kempe, Toffoli shoots, scores! Rangers hit the iron on one end, and the Kings win it on the other!
Fox Sports West had the call, the game-winning goal coming just 25 seconds into sudden death. When the Patriots won their first Super Bowl in 2001, it was the first championship won by a Boston team in 15 years, but over the last 17 years, 12 championships, 12 duck boat parades. They had one for the Red Sox just 3 months ago after they beat L.A. in the World Series, and now everyone will be back today to celebrate the Patriots beating L.A. in the Super Bowl, their sixth title. They're losing a top assistant with the Super Bowl over the Dolphins, able to make official the hiring of Brian Flores as their new head coach. The Bengals did likewise with Rams assistant Zach Taylor. Super Bowl ratings were the lowest in 11 years. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, the game may be over, but the spoils from the Super Bowl are still being distributed, and Uncle Sam will be taking a big chunk out of the pie. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
So how big are these bonuses?
Each player on the Patriots received a $201,000 bonus for winning the Super Bowl, while the Rams players, the losing team, each received $142,000.
Bloomberg tax reporter Ryan Preet says federal taxes take 37%, and then there are the state taxes.
Each Patriots player will only see about $116,000 of the original $201,000. On the Rams side, each player will see around $70,000 of the original $142,000.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
America needs a Green New Deal. That's easy to say. Spelling out what it ought to mean is harder. Democrats leading this campaign intend the allusion to FDR's New Deal, an assault on the Great Depression, to convey urgency, ambition, commitment to social justice, and breadth of policy, except this time with the need to address climate change. To assure its success, a Green New Deal should start with realistic cost projections, achievable goals, and a plan for how to afford them. The effort will call for programs to retrain workers in fossil fuel industries. Transforming U.S. energy systems will mean big changes in energy jobs. The greatest challenge will be to persuade voters that a big national effort is necessary and affordable. Done well, a Green New Deal like the one that inspired it can bring Americans together and help the country succeed. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Oil major BP is promising to prove its business plans align with Paris climate targets. It's a response to pressure from a large group of shareholders who are part of a broader network of investors with about $32 trillion under management called Climate Action 100+. The group focuses on greenhouse gas emissions from businesses across different industries. The resolution expresses concern that BP hasn't yet demonstrated its strategy is consistent with the Paris climate goals. BP said in a statement that it intends to provide clarity around emissions at its annual meeting in May, adding that the process to formally submit the resolution is still being finalized. The British firm also says it will show how each new investment is consistent with the Paris Accord. Last year, BP said it would cut greenhouse gases in its operations by 3.5 million tons by 2025. It said that progress toward this target will be a factor in bonuses for 36,000 BP staff members starting this year. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
And Bob, BP's better-than-expected earnings report is helping give a lift to European equities this morning with the DAX and the FTSE in London all more than 1% higher. Futures on Wall Street moving higher as well, with S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 83, and NASDAQ futures up 17 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. Futures are moving higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Tatiana Duryea. Tatiana, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are higher this morning, with Dow futures up 81, S&P up 4.5, and the NASDAQ up 15. The U.S. 10-year yield up about half a basis point to 2.729%. Most markets in Asia were closed for the Lunar New Year holiday, but Australian shares rallied and Japan's Nikkei fell overnight. European markets are all rising. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, we have market services and composite PMI at 9:45 and ISM non-manufacturing index at 10 a.m. In Washington, D.C., President Trump will address the nation in his State of the Union speech later today. He's expected to focus on trade, infrastructure, and healthcare. After earnings, Google parent Alphabet is down 2% in early trading as profit margins dropped. And wrapping things up, Kraft Heinz was cut to hold at Deutsche Bank. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Tatiana Daria. Karen.
All right, Tatiana, thank you. S&P futures are up 4.5 points, as you said. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. It's a new set of legal issues confronting President Donald Trump. The president's inaugural committee is under scrutiny. The committee, which disclosed raising a record-setting $107 million, was subpoenaed by federal prosecutors in New York. Tonight, President Trump delivers his State of the Union address. The White House says the president will offer a theme of unity in his speech. The first lady has invited a sixth grader from Wilmington, Delaware, Joshua Trump, who has been bullied in school due to his last name. You can hear tonight's speech on Bloomberg and the coverage starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in overtime to the Kings 4-3. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, The TV audience for Super Bowl 53 was the lowest in a decade. The number of viewers fell to 98.2 million, according to Nielsen data. Advertising sales also declined. Nathan, CBS collected $382 million in ad sales during the game. That's down from the $408 million NBC got last year.
Did you watch, Michael?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
And apparently the scores fell, too, because
it's the lowest ever. That's right.
13-3. So.
That's right.
Oh, my. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Well, knowing how early you get up, Michael, kudos to you for powering through that lowest ever scoring Super Bowl. Appreciate that. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Of course, the State of the Union address tonight with our coverage beginning at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Also making news from the nation's capital, the president met with Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to discuss the economic outlook. And the Trump inaugural committee is now under subpoena in a case that is outside the reach of special counsel Robert Mueller. For all more on all this, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me. Will it be a must-listen State of the Union address tonight, Kate?
Well, I certainly think this version of the State of the Union address, this incarnation of it, is garnering a lot more attention than some previous iterations, in part because it was delayed a week in the midst of the government shutdown. And that was also the result of some acrimony between the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the president. And also because there's the possibility that another government shutdown could be coming in just 10 days' time. And so I think that folks are going to be listening very closely to see what the president does say and how Democrats react.
Yeah, and given that lingering division, that disunity exemplified by the partial government shutdown, can the White House deliver on its promise of a unifying message tonight?
Well, I think that it's going to be important to see what actually Trump does say. And, you know, his advisors haven't taken off the table the possibility that he could use the speech to declare a national emergency at the southern border, which is something that would be, fuel a lot of acrimony, would be deeply divisive. And so I think that, you know, somewhat it depends on what Trump says, on whether Trump sticks to the script. And I think that, you know, while he may talk about unity, I think it also will need to be backed up by, you know, action, if in fact that is the tone of the speech. I think there's also a sense that Trump is someone that can go off script, even in big speeches like the State of the Union. So I think it'll just be interesting to see the tone that he takes this year as opposed to last year. And, you know, again, how Democrats react to what he does say and the degree to which he does make news.
No, it should be said that during that first State of the Union address last year, the president got a lot of high marks from observers for not going off the script. So what will you be listening for in that script tonight that, you know, could point to progress in this divided Washington?
Well, I think if the president shows any wiggle room on his demands for a border wall, both in terms of the price and also in terms of, you know, what constitutes a wall, whether he is overtly or, you know, somewhat not explicitly open to the idea of border fencing, for instance, which is something that the bipartisan group that's negotiating a border security compromise has been focused on. I think that would definitely be a promising sign. And so that's something that I think myself and others would be looking for. I guess also, you know, the extent to which he might talk about other topics like infrastructure that traditionally have been bipartisan issues, but, you know, that so far really haven't gained much traction. But I think a lot of the attention is going to be around border security tonight for sure.
Yeah. And when we talked to Wendy Schiller of Brown University last hour, she noted her opinion is that this is all about 2020, setting up the presidential race. This is Trump's chance to give himself sort of a soft pitch for re-election. Given that, how do Democrats plan to position themselves tonight in the House chamber?
Well, I think for Trump, you know, I mean, even if you look at his campaign rallies, I don't think he's, you know, ever stopped sort of positioning himself for the next campaign. You know, is his a lot of his presidential speeches on the road or take the tone of campaign rallies anyway. But I think with Democrats, you know, we're going to have Nancy Pelosi sitting directly behind him on the dais when he speaks. She is someone that, you know, has gotten high marks for her maneuvering during the government shutdown. She is kind of the standard bearer now for the Democratic Party until a nominee is named. And so I think that, you know, watching her reactions is kind of always an interesting parlor game in Washington when the speaker is a different party from the president. So I think people will be watching that closely. I think also people will be watching folks like Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, who are considered by some Democratic strategists at this point to be front runners for the nomination. So I think people will be watching them closely and what they have to say, you know, both after the speech and, you know, in the days that follow. And then Stacey Abrams, who's lost narrowly her bid to become Georgia's governor in November. She is giving the Democratic response. And I think it's interesting that Democrats selected a woman to give that response because, you know, all the people I've named are women. And so I think that Democrats are putting women front and center as they begin to craft their 2020 message.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit more. It is an interesting choice of Stacey Abrams to deliver that Democratic response, the one message that Democrats are going to put themselves behind as a counterpoint to the president tonight. What does the choice of her as the vessel for that message say about where the Democratic Party plans to take itself into the 2020 race?
Well, she's interesting in the sense that, again, had she won, she would have been the first black woman to serve as governor of a U.S. state. She narrowly lost. She's viewed as a rising star within the party. Some are talking about encouraging her to run for the Senate. Obviously, Democrats are women and minorities, particularly African Americans, are demographic groups that Democrats have traditionally done well with and I think want to energize heading into 2020 so that they come out in large numbers to support whoever the Democratic nominee is. And also, you know, the Democrats want to play well in the South in states like Georgia that have, you know, large African American populations and are, you know, growing urban centers that are traditionally considered red, but are becoming increasingly purple and where a Democrat could potentially compete in 2020 in the presidential race. And that would be a game changer for sort of the electoral landscape.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks so much for this, setting us up for the State of the Union Address, President Trump's remarks to a joint session of Congress. Our coverage begins tonight at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Yeah, good morning again, Karen. Crowdfunding has opened up access for entrepreneurs and small business founders to capital. When access to capital is a worry, it may be the way to go. Crowdfunding is the practice of funding a project or venture by raising small contributions from a large group of people. The crowdfunding model typically involves the project initiator who proposes the project or idea to be funded, funders or supporters of the project, and a platform that provides the framework for the transaction. Now, the most popular model is rewards-based. This type of campaign uses incentives or rewards for backers who support the project. A good example of this is the smartwatch manufacturer Pebble. That startup offered backers the first editions on their product upon release. They're basically using the campaign as a pre-order channel. They managed to pull in $9 million in funding that way. Yeah, that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And futures this morning moving higher as we await earnings today from Walt Disney, among others. We did hear from Lazard this morning. It did beat analyst estimates, and Aramark also beat analyst estimates. S&P futures, meanwhile, up 5 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury is down 1/32nd, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.